This is The Guardian.
Today, caring for the very young and the very old. What can be learnt from intergenerational living?
Today in Focus is supported by Rainforest Trust. In honour of this year's Earth Day, we're promoting Rainforest Trust's Brazilian Amazon Fund throughout April. Rainforest Trust is a 501c3 organisation, which means that 100% of all money donated goes directly to conservation efforts. The fund has already helped protect more than 6.5 million acres of rainforest habitat, but Rainforest Trust still needs to protect a further 13 million acres to reach its goal. You can help. Donate online at rainforesttrust.org/earthday this April, and your generous gift will be quadruple matched for the Brazilian Amazon.
Belong Chester is an intergenerational community right in the heart of Chester, and I spent what turned out to be a completely magical day there recently.
One, two, three. Helen Pitt is The Guardian's North of England editor, and she's been looking into the care sector and how one home is doing things differently by combining care for its older people with young toddlers.
I was in their main venue. It's got a bar in there where people were gathering, and quite a lot of the older residents were being pushed in on their wheelchairs, and the children streamed into the room just full of joy. They were skipping. One of them was wearing fairy wings. They went up to see their favourite older people. And then they were told by the singing teacher to give out these hand puppets, and they went from each older person and gave them their puppets. And then the singing teacher announced that we were going to attempt to sing a round.
Practice makes perfect, hey, darling.
And I must admit, looking around me, I thought, this is ambitious. It's a bunch of 2- and 3-year-olds and a group of older people, many of whom have got advanced dementia. Like, I'm not sure that this is going to be all that harmonious. And yet, there's just something magical that can happen when people find their voices.
Bella mama, bella mama, yeah. Bella mama, bella mama, yeah.
And it sounded really quite wonderful, to the point that I was having to just wipe away tears. And a lot of these older residents, I'd interacted with them earlier in the day, and some of them really struggled with speech and with memory. Some of them had real severe tremors and things like that. But once we started singing, they were just completely transformed.
Belong isn't just a one-off community project. It's being studied by academics in 9 different universities to see how intergenerational living might change the way older and younger people are looked after and how they might thrive in an environment together.
Bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama.
What's Belong's secret? And could their model revolutionise care homes in this country? From The Guardian, I'm Nasheen Iqbal. Today in Focus, how intergenerational living could transform the care sector. So Helen, if you have an elderly person in your family who you're struggling to care for, what does the current picture look like? What would be the options?
Well, it really depends how much money you've got. And the current situation in England and Wales for an older person is that if they've got savings worth more than £23,250, then they have to pay for their own care. And that includes selling their property in order to pay for it. And there were lots of people I met at Belong whose parents, for example, had actually sold up their homes in order to guarantee themselves a place somewhere so nice. And for those who don't have that £23,000, they're entitled to local authority support. But there's often quite a big gap between the fees that the local authority are willing to pay and those of places like Belong, which, although Belong's fees are kind of comparable with the general market, they are above the local authority ceiling.
How much do we know about the health of people once they enter a standard care home? How does it affect them?
If you've got an older person who's going into care, who's perhaps already showing the signs of dementia and Alzheimer's, often that shift in environment can really set people back. It can make people quite disoriented, and people can feel quite lonely and abandoned if they're not given the proper care and support and kind of love in their new home. Often health does deteriorate, not just mental health, but also physical health, when people are moved out of their own homes. Often they've been there for decades into an alien environment where they don't know people and they are starting all over again.
Recently, you've been spending some time at a place called Belong, which is the UK's first intergenerational care home. Can you talk about your first impressions? What did it feel like to be there?
Well, immediately, as soon as I walked through the doors of Belong, I felt, well, aptly, a sense of belonging. You know, some places have just got a really good vibe. And it felt very different from care homes I've been to before. Like, both of my grannies had dementia, and I remember kind of dreading going to see them, not because I didn't love them, but because where they were, the smell, the kind of institutional setting, Belong, it feels like a genuine community. Really nice artwork on the walls. Nobody's wearing a uniform. It feels casual, it feels warm, and it feels welcoming.
And can you describe exactly how Belong works? Like, what does the setup look like?
So at its most basic level, Belong is a care home for older people with a nursery attached. And not just attached, actually, it's integrated. And that's really important. So there are six households, which are essentially kind of mini care homes. And there are also 23 apartments that older people can rent or buy. And then there's also all kinds of communal facilities. So there is a bistro, there's a gym, there is a library, there's an arts and crafts room, and there's a garden. And the idea is there should be as many settings as possible within this complex where the older residents and the very, very youngest ones can come together and live and enjoy and play and learn.
Can you describe a typical day for me? What kind of activities do the children, elderly, actually do together? How do they interact?
So there's no kind of typical day at Belong, but how it begins is that, just like any other nursery really, the parents start dropping the children off at about 8 o'clock. And then in the households, which is like the care home element of Belong, there's members of staff who go around and talk to the residents and say, do you fancy seeing the children today? Nobody is forced to interact with the children and they don't have to, although 80% of the residents have daily contact with the children. So it's not a kind of tokenistic once at the end of term kind of thing. And the residents can also say if they're up for having a little visitor. So they call it knocking on, which I think is quite a kind of, I don't know, Northwest England thing to do when you knock on and basically you call for them. And likewise, the older people are allowed to knock on at the nursery. And I mean, the nursery, it's like most nurseries, you know, fairly high security. Nobody can get in there without a swipe card. But many of the older people, you know, they go downstairs every morning and they're let in and they play with the children. And it's the absolute highlight for them. As well as just playing with the children, there are activities throughout the day. So they've got an arts and crafts room. When I was there, they were painting these clay elephants. And I don't know, when I think about my nieces and nephews, watching them paint anything when they were three, it was just an absolute war zone. But there's something about the presence of the old people that just really calms the toddlers down. And it was the same at lunchtime. So there's an on-site bistro and the children sit with the older people if the older people want to dine with the little ones. And I've never seen such serenity of a table of three-year-olds trying to eat a tomato-based sauce at lunchtime. The table manners were incredible. And in the middle of this table was one of their grandfriends, which is what they call the older residents, one of their favourites, who's called Bill. and he was just sipping a cappuccino and just encouraging them just to have a few more green beans. And lots of the parents were talking about how their children's table manners had improved immeasurably, how they'd become much more confident eaters, a lot less picky, because they would see what their grandfriends were having and they didn't want to look like fussy eaters, and they wanted the praise from their grandfriends for being good eaters.
And how exactly are the interactions between them managed? Because as you've mentioned, both of these groups are quite vulnerable, have quite demanding needs.
So Belong is very well staffed. They're always keeping a very watchful eye on what's going on. I think it's worth pointing out that at no point are the residents and the children ever left alone. There are always members of staff on hand.
And so where did the idea for the care home itself come from?
Yeah, so the history of intergenerational living seems to date back to the 1970s in Japan, when there was the first merger, really, of a nursery school and care home in Tokyo. And this was such a huge success that the model was replicated across Tokyo. It really took on in the States. But for many people in the UK, the first time they heard of the concept was when they watched the Channel 4 programme called Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds.
This gang of four-year-olds are enrolling at a nursery like no other.
Hello, Nelson.
With some extra special classmates.
What is your name?
Which was a kind of time-limited experiment when a bunch of four-year-olds decamped from their nursery into a care home in Bristol with predictably heartwarming results.
What do you think happens to you when you get really old?
I think you go in the bungalow.
Look at my balloon!
Oh, excellent.
And Helen, what about intergenerational living in general in Britain? Because, of course, in some communities, it's actually quite normal. You will have grandparents living at home with their adult children and their grandchildren. And what does the general picture look like, and how much do we know about the effects and benefits of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something very natural about bringing young children and older people together. And yet in the UK, it's not the norm anymore, and hasn't been for a long time, actually, for generations to live together. But in many global cultures, in India, for example, Pakistan, lots of countries in Africa, this intergenerational family structure model is completely normal. And what Belong is trying to do is learn from those cultures and bring a lot of those ideas into their nursery setting in the heart of Chester.
So we basically started really well before COVID, just thinking about little children and older people and what they might bring to each other.
So Sue Eggersdorf is the co-founder of Ready Generations, which is a charity that she set up with another woman called Liz Ludden in 2019. And the whole idea of their charity is to encourage connections between all ages. So both Sue and Liz have got really deep backgrounds in early years education. Liz runs a really well-regarded nursery in Liverpool. And they decided that they wanted to do something different. And they felt passionately that there were these huge gains to be had when you bring together these two communities.
It's about actually living together. So you'll see planned activities today, but what we've found since we opened is where the really special things happen isn't necessarily in the planned stuff. Yeah. It's actually in the spontaneous living that you would get living on the street.
They'd been searching for quite a few years, actually, to find the right partner, the right care community that would be willing to take what is a bit of a risk, really, and allow the nursery to set up shop within the care home and to see what happens.
And what did Sue Eggersdorf have to say about the impact it has on the older people in the home?
Yeah, I mean, Sue is an evangelist for intergenerational living, and she talks about how they witnessed this physical change in the older people when they move in. She calls it kind of unfurling.
We're trying to create a new language, really. And, you know, we've coined this phrase unfurling because we've seen some older people that have settled in here and aren't quite sure because it's very new. Mm. And life is a bit closed down. And then the children come in and you actually see them, the whole body, unfurl.
And so they arrive, they might be quite reserved, maybe quite unhappy, quite lonely. And then they witness a sort of blossoming as the older people make friends with the nursery children and they get joy back into their lives.
Your name is...
You're Paula.
That's Diane.
That's Diane, okay. Yeah. And how long has your mum lived here?
She's just over a year.
So she's one of the first residents?
One of the first residents in this new place.
Yeah.
She was resident.
I mean, there were so many wonderful encounters that I had while visiting Belong, but one of them that really sticks in my mind was when I met an 83-year-old woman called June Davis, who, it turned out, used to be a primary school teacher. And her daughters were there when I visited, and they were telling me how, when she arrived at Belong, she was in a wheelchair.
When she came here, you know, her mobility was really quite impaired. She'd had a hip replacement because she broke her hip. We never thought she'd walk again.
She had really quite advanced Parkinson's and advanced dementia. I mean, one of the daughters very affectionately said, oh, she's mad as a box of frogs, our mum.
Right.
And yet, when I saw June, she was reading to the children in the library. She was reading Funny Bones. I don't know if you ever read that book, the Janet and Alan Alborg
Definitely.
Book.
Yeah, I read Funny Bones.
Yeah, it's about a family of skeletons. And the children were all sitting on the floor. They were sitting on these little cushions that were made to look like little tree stumps. One of them was wearing fairy wings. It was just so, it was like a really beautiful scene. And June had kind of walked into the room looking frail and shaking a lot with her Parkinson's. And there was just something in her that came alive. As soon as she opened the book and started reading, the tremor went from her voice and she immediately commanded the respect of these little children who were completely rapt. And it was very, very moving to see.
Back now, her mobility has massively improved since she's got here, yeah.
And do you think, is she very motivated to move to go and see the children? Do they play a big part in that, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Now, often we'll come down and go and have a little look and see what the children are doing.
Zenon, like June is one of the people who is there requiring a lot of care, but there were also elderly people who, as we've mentioned, bought or rented an apartment in Belong. Can you tell me a bit about them?
Yeah, so there are 23 independent living apartments on site at Belong, and quite a lot of the residents of those apartments are couples where perhaps one member of the couple is beginning to suffer from dementia. So they might need a bit of extra care. Maybe their partner needs some respite from time to time. And it gives that mix of independent living while also having a ready-made community.
Could you introduce me to these two?
So this is our gorgeous Diana.
Hiya, Diana.
Chief Tickler. And this is Alan. So they live in an apartment.
Right. And I particularly love meeting a couple called Alan and Diana and their budgie, who is called Joey, who the children all love. And Diana has been living with Alzheimer's for quite a long time, and it got to the point where Alan couldn't cope at home in the village in Cheshire where they live. So they took the decision to move into Belong, and it's been completely transformational.
Diana is living with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
If she's not feeling too good some days, I bring her out, take it out to the nursery, and she lights up.
Really?
It's as if somebody switches a switch back on.
Really? Mm. That's powerful, isn't it?
And he said it's like somebody's turned a switch back on. It's that powerful. And he told me about how not long ago he went back to their old village to take down to the hairdressers, and people were sort of stopping him in the street and saying, wow, Alan, you look well. You look so happy.
People notice the difference with me, and I go in and they would say to me, you're looking much happier now.
Really?
And what is it about the place that makes you much happier?
Friendly,
yeah.
For one thing. I think everybody's there to help you.
Because it can be quite lonely, can't it, as a carer?
No.
No.
I got more friends than before.
Yeah.
And he just said he's so much happier and so much less lonely. And he talked about how caring these little children can be and how observant they are. And there was one time when Diana had to go into hospital for a few days and they spotted him popping out to the Waitrose that's nearby.
And they said, Alan, where are you going? So I said, I'm going up to the supermarket up there. Well, where's Diana?
Yeah.
And she was in hospital at the time.
And the children were like, Alan! Where's Diana? And he was just so touched that she was missed. So there's a genuine sense of community, and even these very little children looking out for their grand friends.
Did you meet any older residents who weren't really enthusiastic about hanging out with 3-year-olds?
So when Belong opened in June 2022, a lot of the first residents decided to move there specifically because they just loved the idea of having the children on site. But there were some residents who admitted to me when I spoke to them that they were indifferent at best. There was this one kind of very sort of brusque, no-nonsense woman called Dorothy Hulford, who's in her 80s, a former university administrator who lives in one of the flats with her husband, who's in his 90s. And she said she was sort of sceptical about the whole idea, but she got sucked in. She was never thought she was that good with children, but she said she just finds it incredibly fulfilling and she's flattered that the children want to spend time with her. And she said it was particularly important for the men at Belong, because she said a lot of these older gentlemen, they were of the generation that they didn't do that much with their children. Mm. You know, the childcare was left often to the mothers. And therefore, it's been particularly important and illuminating for them to really get involved with the children and gain just such joy from being with them.
And what do you think it is, having watched those interactions between little kids and older people, what is it about those two groups that managed to connect?
I think the lack of judgment from the children. The children just take things as they come, don't they? Almost everything that they encounter is new. Therefore, they're told, James uses a wheelchair because his legs don't work. And they're just like, oh, fine. They don't kind of see it as a negative thing.
Mm.
There was one child who said, one of the old ladies, she had a problem with her eye. And this little girl Ashley was saying, but she's having problems with her eye, but she can still see through it. So they were always kind of looking for the positives. And I think that that can be an incredibly uplifting experience for these old people who they're sort of being viewed as people who've got all these limitations. And I think what the children really gain is they have access to a whole ready community of incredibly patient and available older people who do things at a slower pace, which is perfect for children who often do need a bit more time and maybe they do need to calm down a little bit.
And Ellen, you spoke to some of the parents who've got their children into this nursery at Belong. I imagine it's really competitive and highly in demand, but can you tell me about what they said about why they wanted to get involved?
Yeah, they were in raptures about Belong. Right, how do I spell Maeve?
M-A-E-V-E.
Evie, yep. And Jacob is your little boy.
Yeah,
and there was this one parent I spoke to, a woman called Maeve Farrell, who's from Northern Ireland. And she was saying that she and her partner had moved to Chester with their little boy, Jacob, who's three now, and they didn't have any family there.
And I suppose, like, I'm from Northern Ireland. My partner grew up in London, mm-hmm. and we don't have any family here at all.
Yeah.
So I was just mindful of Jacob missing out on that opportunity and just the benefits and just, you know, how much you can learn from people of different age groups.
Mm-hmm. And when I met Maeve, she was 6 months pregnant, and she said she'd had a really difficult pregnancy. And she said she just noticed how Jacob was just being so kind and caring in a way that maybe he wasn't when he started at Belong.
And I think it's made him really empathetic.
Yeah.
You know, you know, when Jacob's seen maybe unwell, you know, he's really caring and he checks on me and he'll ask me, like, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling better? And I don't know if that's normal for a three-year-old, but I think that this scenario where we're around people and, you know, they're definitely teaching them that they have to be just a bit careful around some of our grandfriends, as they call them.
The grandfriends.
Yeah, which is so adorable.
So good.
I think that it's definitely helped. And I think...
And what other changes have parents noticed in their children? What have they been saying about how they interact at home?
Another thing that the parents talked about was how their children's vocabulary had really increased. I think because they're having these daily, quite detailed, unrushed conversations with their grandfriends, most of whom don't use baby talk, who talk to them, you know, in full sentences. And it's never kind of hurried. And they said that from that, they'd really noticed that their children's language and their speech had improved hugely.
There were academics involved with Belong when it was first set up. They're now looking for funding to continue their work. But why is this research needed?
I think instinctively people know that it's probably a good idea to get young and old together, but there's very little rigorous academic research proving the benefits of this kind of intergenerational living. So they're going to look at the pros and cons. What benefits do both communities derive from living and being together?
Coming up, why don't we have intergenerational care homes everywhere?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In Norway, a woman's boyfriend forgets who she is overnight. In Detroit, a man is arrested, but he was never at the crime scene. In Spain, disturbing pictures of young girls have appeared, and no one knows who's behind them. Something strange is happening. A collision between people and artificial intelligence. Discover more in The Guardian's new series, Black Box. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes Monday and Thursdays.
Dr. Kay Heslop, you're an assistant professor at Northumbria University, and you've been working on intergenerational projects since 2015. You were also one of the academics involved with Belong Chester from the very beginning. Why do you think this area of work is so important?
Intergenerational practice isn't something new. It's been going for centuries. We still have certain societies where older people are respected and they live with their families. There are language nests within the Maori community where the older adults will teach the younger children. There are some communities where intergenerational practice is everyday practice. However, within certain societies, UK, US, in recent years, we've had a stratification of society. A lot of people will move away from home. They might go away for university or for work, and they're away from their own families. And there's been a recognition that there's a disconnect between the generations. You know, there's an aging population. So we have to do something to reconnect those generations and to make sure that everybody lives a fulfilled life.
And why does this area interest you in particular?
My first main research was in 2015, and that was with some early years practitioners who had developed some forest school. The forest school idea was brought into the UK in the 1990s. It sort of stemmed from Scandinavia, and it's basically outdoor education, all about learning in the outdoors, in the open air, without boundaries. So in conversations with them, one of them had said, "We could really do with a granny in the forest."
Right.
And they really just felt they needed that grandparent who had the time and the patience to sit with them and support the children. So right in the beginning, we sent out an advert. We just wanted to recruit some older adults to work with young children. The older adults who came forward, their worries initially included their physical ability.
Right.
One person was really worried about their patience.
What did they say about how they felt by the end of it?
They had thoroughly enjoyed every moment. There was one lady, at one point, I had a health and safety crisis because I caught her trying to slide down the hill on a tin tree, and she was saying, "Oh, I haven't done this for years. It's great."
So I found a sense of feeling younger again as well.
Definitely. She said it was a real boost, you know, to her self-esteem, to the value in life. She realised that she had a purpose. She was teaching the children something.
You went on to Belong, and you're hoping to assess its benefits soon. Do you think this issue is getting enough attention and funding?
In England, no. There's a colleague of ours in Australia who has been awarded a significant grant to explore intergenerational working. And there is a lot of work going on in the USA. The Scottish Government are supporting the charity Generations Working Together. But in England, the people who are engaging in intergenerational practice They are often self-funding it, and there is no policy directing it. Where it's happening, there are some excellent examples of practice, yet not everybody is benefiting from it. It's crucial that we can introduce this right across the field. Regardless of background, anybody who would benefit from it should be able to.
It almost sounds like a no-brainer. I mean, to anyone listening, it sounds so heartwarming and positive that there is something like Belong, which is really fascinating and seems really beneficial to everyone involved. What are the drawbacks to an organisation like this? Why are we not seeing Belongs popping up all over the UK?
It's expensive to do well. You need a lot more staff. And it's difficult, as it is, to turn a profit in the nursery sector. But if you add in all of the extra staff that you need in order to manage these interactions with the older people, and it really cuts into your bottom line. And at Belong in Chester, Liz and Sue, who are the founders of the nursery there, they were pretty straight up with me. And they said the only reason we can turn a slight profit on the nursery is that neither of those two are drawing a salary from it at all. And Belong, the care home group that owns the whole complex, isn't charging them any rent at the moment. So there's quite a big question mark over how sustainable it is. In the nursery sector and also the care home sector, although costs on paper can seem very high to the consumers who are having to pay the fees, there is not a huge amount of profit to be made. The cost of having a room in one of the households at Belong, it costs from £1,355 a week.
Right.
You know, which is, of course, not cheap. And that is much more than local authorities are able to fund. So it generally tends to be wealthier people who can afford to go there. You know, it is not cheap. And yet those who are behind this project say that they're not really making money on it.
Well, given all of that, what are the ambitions for the founders of Belong?
I think they want to prove the concept.
So our charity and the nursery, with Belong's help, has been set up to really do more than just provide a nursery and a care village.
Yep.
Like, this is about actually researching the difference it makes and trying to prove whether economically it's a model that could be scaled.
Right, okay. So they want to prove the concept, and then the idea is they'll find a way maybe to scale it. And I think the other thing that they talked about that they said was important to them, that they acknowledge that at the moment, to live somewhere like Belong is a privilege, and it's a privilege afforded only to those who have got towards the end of their life with quite a lot of wealth and who can afford to live there. And they said this should not be the preserve of the wealthy. Everybody deserves to have a fulfilling and meaningful end to their life with plenty of interaction with those at the very start of their lives, and to have joy and to be able to really be part of a community. And that's what Belong is.
Helen, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, I have a bit of news. I'm headed off on maternity leave. Please wish me luck. But I'm leaving you in the very capable hands of Helen Pidd, who you've just heard in this episode. Helen's worked with us on some great Today in Focus episodes over the years, and I think I can speak on behalf of our very lovely team, I'm going to miss very much, that we're really excited to have her on board. I will be back in a couple of weeks for a special project we've been working on, and then returning regularly to Today in Focus later in the year. It's really a privilege to bring you these stories, and we're grateful that you give us your time. Thank you so much. And if you've not already, please believe me when I tell you that you need to subscribe to Black Box. It's The Guardian's new podcast series about artificial intelligence, and no bias, my brilliant co-host Michael Safi and the team are doing a stellar job in showing us the ways in which this mysterious tech is colliding with humanity with surprising and extraordinary results. I'm Nisheen Iqbal. This episode was produced by Natalie Katena. Sound design was by Solomon King. The executive producer was Elizabeth Cassin. Today in Focus, we'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.